and speak through them. Take our hearts this morning and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence, and we invite you to bring conviction to our hearts through the living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now, one of my favorite things to do during my Sabbath, which is Friday, is to go to the beach with Kim and to sit and read and be still. I don't do still real well, but I'm learning. Now, I read through audiobooks, so I'm sitting there listening to a book while I'm either observing the waves or while I'm just sitting with my eyes closed. But when I'm watching the waves, I'm always looking for a sighting of dolphins. I'm currently listening to the book The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard. It's amazing how each time I go through that book, I learn something new or I hear something fresh. And the portion I listened to on Friday, he was addressing Matthew's use of the imagery of the kingdom of heaven and Jesus' declaration that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This kingdom of heaven that's separate from our earthly existence, Jesus proclaimed, is at hand. It's near. And then Jesus said, repent and believe the gospel. This is Jesus, God the Son, who in his life initiated God's kingdom on earth, thereby making that kingdom available to all who would believe in his name. That theme dovetails perfectly with the theme of the first chapter of the book that we're reading as a church this fall, The Good and Beautiful Community. If you're reading it, you know that it talks about we're set apart and we're peculiar as his people. If you're not reading it yet, I encourage you to do so. Through faith in Jesus, we receive new life. Dallas Willard calls it an eternal kind of life. And we receive citizenship by our faith in Jesus into God's kingdom, which Jesus declared is near. It's all around us. Well, as my mind pondered that reality on Friday, that God's kingdom is near to me, as my eyes looked on the beauty of creation, I saw many dolphins on Friday. There were 5 separate instances over 2 hours where I saw dolphins near and dolphins far. And usually I just get excited if I see one dolphin or one sighting. But this was really exciting, to the point that Kim stopped looking up and said, I get it, there are dolphins. Let me read. Well, my mind connected those two things as I sat there, the kingdom of God being near and the multitude of dolphins that day. And it gave me an understanding of God's kingdom being near all the time, even when I don't see it or when I don't sense it. It's just like the dolphins. They're always in the ocean, whether I see them or not. But sometimes my attentiveness will help me to see them. Other times, I'll look for hours and not see one. It doesn't mean that they're not there. And I found encouragement in that. They're always there, just like God's kingdom is always near, always around me. And that's the reality that the disciples experienced as they lived with Jesus and as they walked alongside him. They witnessed God's kingdom and God's power firsthand. And after Jesus' resurrection and his ascension, God's kingdom remained. He initiated it, and it remains on earth. And it was as members of that kingdom that Jesus' disciples and the early Christians experienced the power of the Holy Spirit. And as their faith strengthened, they valued their life in his kingdom more than their temporal lives, and that caused them to live differently. Their priorities changed, and they became peculiar to their first century Jewish culture. as members of God's kingdom filled with His Spirit, they live differently and they serve to attract attention by their peculiar living. And it drew others into faith with Jesus or to inquire, why are they living differently? This is our third sermon in a series walking through the book of Acts. And the book of Acts declares resoundingly, that the reality of God's kingdom on earth has changed the world. And it declares the impact that God's kingdom on earth had on new believers as they live differently. I invite you this morning to turn to page 4 in your leaflet. We're going to be looking at our passage from Acts chapter 2. Last week, we discussed the previous passage describing the arrival of the Holy Spirit on the disciples. Then Peter's sermon to the gathered crowd, explaining what was going on, and the 3,000 new converts who believed in Jesus, repented of their sin, and were baptized in His name. Our reading today describes what happened next. Those new believers didn't just give intellectual assent to a new religious doctrine and then return to their regular lives. Their faith in Jesus and their entry into His kingdom was transformative. Our author and historian Luke mentions four practices in verse 42 that they devoted themselves to. Four practices that changed them and ultimately changed the world through them. And I'm going to suggest to you today that if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, you will do well to pay attention to these four practices. Now, the Greek verb translated devoted here is a participle. So it's not just a verb saying they devoted one time or occasionally. It's a present active participle describing continuing action. They were continually devoting themselves to these four practices. And that continual devotion led to their transformation. The four practices appear in verse 42. So let's read that together. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to the prayers. First, the apostles' teaching. The new believers were Jewish. They would have possessed a comprehensive knowledge of Hebrew scriptures, perhaps having much of it memorized. The apostles' teaching declared the fulfillment of Hebrew scriptures, the fulfillment of God's promises in Jesus Christ. Their teaching connected what the faithful Jewish worshipers already knew about God to His new revelation in Jesus Christ. Now, Peter modeled that teaching in his Pentecost sermon, proclaiming God's fulfillment of Joel's prophecy, which was thousands or hundreds of years earlier. He connected what was happening that Pentecost day to the fulfillment of Scripture. Multiple other times in Acts, we see similar teaching from Peter, from Stephen, from Paul, from others. Sermons and teaching connecting Hebrew Scriptures and God's promises to His chosen people to the fulfillment that had happened in Christ Jesus. The early church was continually devoting themselves to that teaching, reading Hebrew scriptures and learning about God's fulfillment as He initiated His kingdom on earth in Jesus. So they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. Second, they devoted themselves to the fellowship. And the Greek word literally means the sharing. The word is koinonia. The sharing. They shared life together. They worshiped together in the temple. They met together in their homes with meals and prayer, discussing the scriptures, discussing their faith they were continually devoted to their fellowship and their shared life together. Third, the breaking of bread. Now, this is Luke's term for what Paul called the Lord's Supper. And it refers to the act with which a Jewish meal is opened, with the breaking of a loaf of bread. The gospel authors used this terminology to describe Jesus' miraculous feeding of the 5,000 and the 7,000, when Jesus, faced with a crowd and little resources, took bread, gave thanks, and then broke it. And it was distributed miraculously, feeding the multitudes. The gospel authors also use that terminology, describing Jesus' actions during his final meal with them before his execution. And Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The new converts were continually devoting themselves to obeying Jesus' command. And they did that in remembrance of him, regularly breaking bread and sharing the Lord's Supper together. So those are the first three practices. The fourth practice, they devoted themselves continually to the prayers. Now, this doesn't simply mean that they were devoted to praying together. It does involve that, but it's deeper. Luke here is referring to the Jewish prayers. In Jewish worship, there were three daily times of prayer: morning, afternoon, and evening, and they all acknowledged those times of prayer. Every Jewish community had a synagogue, and it was within walking distance, so it was easy for them to get there. So whether they were working or whether they were at home, many would go to the synagogue for morning prayers, then return home or to work, then go to the synagogue for afternoon or midday prayers, then go to the synagogue for evening prayers. But then those who were too distant to get there, they would simply stop where they were and pray. These prayers were memorized so that they were to join together wherever they were in prayer with their faith community. The new Christians, Luke tells us, were continually devoting themselves to these three daily times of Jewish prayer, a practice which eventually led in the early Roman Catholic Church to the daily hours of prayer. And then in the Reformation, when the Anglican Church formed, we retained that practice in the daily office. If you have a prayer book, you have morning prayer, midday prayer, evening prayer, and compline. Our practice of the daily office is tied directly to the hours of Jewish prayer. Now, in my own daily life and practice, I don't follow the Jewish pattern of three specific times of prayer, but I am seeking to have daily what I'm calling prayer pauses with the Lord. Whether it's turning everything off and driving in silence, or in between my meetings or Zoom calls, or stepping outside briefly, even though it's like the surface of the sun, briefly, to get some sunshine, to stretch my legs, and to be quiet with the Lord. And during those pauses that I do, I vary what I'm doing. Sometimes I praise him, or I read scripture. Sometimes I thank him for what's behind. Sometimes I very willingly hand off those things that are burdening me or that are causing anxiety or that are causing frustration. Often I ask for guidance and I'm trying to be quiet during those times. Now, they're only sometimes 5 minutes or 15 minutes, but I've been seeing fruit as I've been disciplined to do that regularly throughout each day. I know that I feel more peaceful. I know that I'm less prone to overreaction, especially with regard to frustration or regard to anger. In a very practical sense, I can get frustrated very easily when I lose something, especially when it's something that I put in the same place and it's not there. My frustration partially stems from the fact that I'm disappointed in myself. Where did I put them? But often, I'm blameless before myself, and I blame others. Who moved my whatever it is? I've been doing much apologizing as I'm beginning to acknowledge that. I'm much more peaceful now as I'm practicing these pauses of prayer. I'm able to look with a greatly reduced sense of urgency, and I'm able to be okay if I don't find it right away or then. Frequently, these things turn up. What I've been told is that my family's noticing a difference. And as I'm following this pattern of prayer pauses, I realize it is changing me. Change was certainly evident in the lives of the early church's converts. As they devoted themselves to these four practices, the apostles' teaching, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers, they were transformed, which led them to lead peculiar lives, which led them to participate in the changing of the world. Verse 46 records their peculiar lives. Day by day, attending the temple, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. In verse 44, all that believed together had all things in common. They were selling possessions and distributing to all who would have need. They were living peculiar lives. And that leads to verse 47. As they lived those lives, praising God and having favor with all the people, the Lord added to their number, day by day, those who were being saved. I have a vision for you, Church of the Redeemer, for our congregation, that we will become that kind of community, that day by day will be continually devoted to the Lord as we're living and to one another. And as we do that, we will be changed and look different. And as we live our peculiar lives, the Lord will bring love and hope and healing to others. They'll be drawn. What's wrong with them? What's different about them? And He will add to our numbers and grow His kingdom. I ask you this morning, are you peculiar? Okay, that is a little strange question. But you know what I'm asking. Is your life as a follower of Jesus peculiar to the world? Do your priorities or daily tendencies cause you to be different from the world? Well, if you desire to be peculiar, to be fruitful in God's kingdom, you'll be wise to heed these four practices and to seek to be continually devoted to them. And you'll be careful not to allow the world to supplant your connection with the Lord and those priorities and replace them with other temporal priorities that don't matter. I want to suggest to you a one-week experiment for you to join me in, to try. And it's connected to the fourth practice of prayer. I'm suggesting that we covenant together with one another to set aside at least 3 times, I'm just asking you to set aside 3 times a day for the next 7 days. It could be morning, afternoon, and evening. It could be 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. You know your schedule. But I'm challenging you to set aside 3 times of at least 10 minutes. It doesn't have to be a long time. But stop. Be quiet and turn everything off. Perhaps read scripture and reflect on it. Pray in the ways that I described myself praying. You could use the family prayer services in the prayer book because there's a family prayer service, family prayer in the morning, midday, early evening, and at the end of the day that are very short. You can do them in 4 to 7 minutes. Join me in this experiment. In essence, as you do that, you'll be devoting yourself to three of the practices if you do this. Devotion to the apostles' teaching, as I'm encouraging you to read a passage or reflect on a passage. Devotion to the prayers and to the fellowship as you're covenanting with one another to do this. I assure you, you have nothing to lose. Will you join me? You have wonderful blessings to gain through this experiment. I believe every one of us has at least 10 minutes three times a day to do this. God's kingdom is near. It is all around you. I challenge you to be peculiar this week. Prioritize God's kingdom first and look for evidence of His presence and evidence of His Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.